welcome to another broadcast from Life Point Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Wherever you are at this point in life, we pray that God will use the following message as a source of help and encouragement as you listen. Please stay tuned at the end of today's broadcast to learn how God can use you to impact the lives of people around the world. And now, here's today's message.
I pray, God, in these next few moments as we open your word and we look at God on the throne, a picture of holiness, I just ask you, Father, that you would help us to somehow break through from this physical realm that we live in, and even for a moment would you allow us to step into the spiritual realm. Help us to break through that veil and just catch a glimpse of your holiness. God, I wonder if we really have even the slightest clue of how holy you are and what that means. We've studied this for years. We've pondered it for years. And yet, I was reminded again this week, preparing for today, how little I really understand your holiness. And how little I really understand my smallness. God, I pray that you would sweep over us today with an awareness of who you are. And I pray that as we catch a picture of you in all of your splendor, in all of your power, in all of your holiness, I pray, God, that it would put us in our right place before you. And we ask you, God, to show us your glory. And may it have its effect on us. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. This is our second Sunday in our series called Downpour. And if you were here last week, you know that we launched into this series by asking God to come and meet us at our point of need and to give us a fresh downpour of His mercy and His grace and His power. And we're going to be continuing this series for a couple of months, and today and next week every 2 weeks is going to be on the same topic. We're going to take 2 weeks at a time as we go through. Today and next Sunday, we're going to be talking about God on the throne, a picture of holiness. And this truly is the starting place of revival. Until we see God for who He is, we will never see ourselves for who we are. And until we see ourselves for who we are and see God for who He is, we will never experience revival in our hearts. As I was thinking about this today, and by the way, go ahead and open your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 6, if you would, please. I have to tell you, preparing for the message this week was an intimidating task. To think about getting up and teaching on the holiness of God. I mean, honestly, I feel like a kindergartner bringing my crayon drawings to a Harvard professor to try to pass the final exams at Harvard. Like, whatever I put together, whatever I may be able to say and try to communicate about the holiness of God, I hope you understand that it falls miles short of the target. Anybody want to volunteer to get up and preach on the holiness of God today? It is a daunting subject. I was blessed to have traveled all over the world with missionary parents as I was growing up, and my sister's here today, and she lived all of that with me, and what a wonderful adventure that was. I was remembering this week about the time when I was 8 years old, our family boarded a boat in Australia. We sailed for 16 days to South Africa, and we began ministering there for many years. And when I was probably about 10 years old or so, our family drove up north into a country called Rhodesia. Well, it's called Zimbabwe now. It used to be called Rhodesia before the communist dictators took over and destroyed the country and renamed it Zimbabwe. This was back in the early days when it was called Rhodesia. Anybody ever heard of Rhodesia? Okay, good. Our family traveled up there, and I remember so clearly the day that my dad drove us out into the middle of nowhere, and this was long before this place became a tourist attraction. A place called Victoria Falls, where David Livingston ministered years ago. Victoria Falls is one of the seven natural wonders of the world. It is unlike anything you have ever seen in your life. It is a little over a mile wide. It is more than twice as tall as Niagara Falls. The mist from Victoria Falls at its low point rises to about 1,300 feet. Take the World Trade Center and add 200 feet above that. In high tide, when the Zambezi River is really pushing water down the falls, the mist can rise as high as 3,000 feet and can be seen from up to 30 miles away. This is a staggering piece of God's creation. And I remember as a family driving out there, no major highways, nothing, just small roads, headed out there, and we park kind of on the edge of a dirt road, and you walk through what's sort of like a rainforest. Out in the middle of this dry land, there's this lush area on the other side of the falls because it's constant rain and sunshine. And I will never forget, I was going back this week, and isn't it amazing how memories can come back and you can just be there again in an instant. And I remember as a kid getting out of the car and beginning to walk towards the falls. And the closer we got, I began to feel a sensation that I've never felt in my life before. I felt the ground, the earth under my feet starting to vibrate. And I heard this rumbling, this thunderous roar growing louder and louder. It was bigger than any sound you can imagine. In fact, the locals there have a name for Victoria Falls that's it's translated, the smoke that thunders. And picture this, there's no tourist boats going on the river. There are no observation decks. There are no gift shops. You're just walking through this rainforest, and you can literally, back then anyway, I'm sure it's changed now, you could walk right up to the very edge of the cliff opposite the falls. And I'll never forget, and I'm sure my sister remembers this, walking out into that clearing and standing there facing this mammoth waterfall with millions of gallons of water pouring over the edge every second and crashing to the rocks below. And I stood there as a little boy, 10 or 11 years old, and I could feel the earth rumbling under my feet. I could feel the vibrations up through my bones. And I felt the spray of the water covering me. And I felt the sonic vibrations from the roar of the water sweeping over me. And I stood face to face with this thing that is indescribable. And, you know, standing there looking at Victoria Falls with this very narrow gorge. I mean, you're standing right there and you're looking at this massive waterfall that just dwarfs you. There really are no adjectives in the English language or any language that you could speak at that moment to enhance what you're seeing and experiencing. Nothing you can say standing there at Victoria Falls would make the other person understand and experience that moment more deeply than they are. Really, all you can do in that moment is just stand there and experience it for yourself and let it just wash over you. And I was thinking about that this week as we, today and next Sunday, make our way as a church towards the holiness of God. Here's what you need to know. I don't have the adjectives to be able to enhance what we're going to see today and next week. All I can do is lead you there. And then all you can do is just stand there before the holiness of God and soak it in. The topic is so huge, it's so overwhelming. I don't know anything else to do except to let it have its effect on you. What we need to understand as we talk about revival is that the root problem in the entire world, in all of humanity, in every generation that has ever lived, the root problem in the world is that man constantly tries to exalt himself and lower God. Do we not see this in our society? And have you perhaps had moments in your own life where you've done the same thing? All the way back to Genesis chapter 3 in the garden, when Satan said, what was his lie? You shall become like God. And there the problem started. In Genesis chapter 11, we see men building the Tower of Babel, trying to reach into the heavens so that they can become equal with God. And here's what we need to know. If we catch a glimpse of God's holiness for who He really is, that will be the beginning of reviving our hearts. That's the beginning. Because seeing God's holiness puts us in our proper place. As one of my old soccer coaches used to say, a British fellow, we will never win a game until everyone learns their proper place on the team. We all have to play our position. I love that. It's a very British word, proper. And that's really what we need to do. We all need to see our proper place compared to God's holiness. When you hear the word holy, we've sung it I don't know how many times this morning. When you hear the word holy or holiness, what do you think of? What comes to mind? Well, here's where I want to start today, by telling you that the word holy or holiness means set apart. It means separate. It means above us, distant from us, different from us. It literally means God is not like us. God is not like us. Holy. He's different. He's high. He's set apart. He is not one of us. He's not anything like us. He's holy. He's different. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1. The prophet Isaiah writes these words, In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord seated on a throne, high and lifted up. Uzziah was the king who had reigned for 52 years. Can you imagine having the same leader for 52 years? People had settled into their routines. Nothing was out of the ordinary. It was just business as usual day after day. And suddenly, King Uzziah died. And now all the people were thrown into a panic. Who's going to rule? What's going to happen? Is it going to be good? Is it going to be bad? There was uncertainty. There was panic into the land. And into that moment of uncertainty, God gave a fresh picture of His holiness for the people to focus on so that it would put everything else into perspective. Notice Isaiah says, I saw the Lord. Whether in a dream or awake, somehow we don't know. Somehow in a vision or literally we don't know. Isaiah was supernaturally transported to God's throne room. He says, I saw the Lord, notice, seated on a throne. Seated. Not pacing back and forth. Not wringing His hands. Not nervously walking the hallways. Seated. Why? Because He's God. He knows the beginning from the end. That thing next week that you're worried about, God's been there. His fingerprints are already all over it. God is not worried or perplexed about anything. I don't know about you, but that gives me tremendous hope and peace in this life, knowing that my God is ruling, seated on his throne. He's got it all in control. I saw the Lord seated on a throne, high and lifted up. Even in heaven, it strikes me. Even in heaven, God is high and lifted up above everything else. Why? Because even the sinless angels need to be reminded that God is not like the rest of us. He's high. He's lifted up. There is none like him. Even those in heaven need to be reminded. Seated on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. You know what a train represents on someone's garment? It represents honor and splendor. Ladies, I'm sure most of you remember on your wedding day, probably the majority of you had a wedding gown that was not like a normal dress. It had a long train of some sort in the back. Why? Because it represents honor. That is your day to be honored. And that tradition goes way back. The veil, the train on a gown says to everyone else, this person is to be honored. There have been some amazingly long trains on wedding gowns over the years. Back in the 50s when Queen Elizabeth was married, the train on her wedding gown went from the altar all the way down the aisle of Westminster Abbey to the back of the church building. Well, that's nothing. Somebody tried to outdo that. I don't know if you can see that, but there's a wedding gown 650 feet long. Somebody saw that and didn't think it was too impressive, and so they made this one 1.2 miles long. And Isaiah would see that wedding gown after having had this vision of God, and he would say, that's nothing compared to what I saw. 1.2 miles? That's nothing. What you need to understand is that I saw God seated on his throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. It did what to the temple? It filled the temple. Up and down the aisles, back and forth, doubling and redoubling, till there was no space left. Why? What is it representing? It's showing us that there is no place that can hide from God's splendor. No one has more splendor. He is holy. The Bible asks again and again, who is like you, O Lord? And the answer is rhetorically, no one. Who is like you, Lord? No one. Pause here for a moment and turn a few books to the right to Ezekiel chapter 1. Ezekiel chapter 1. Ezekiel is another prophet who got a glimpse of God's holiness. Many people claim to have seen God. Very few have. Ezekiel chapter 1 says this, in the 30th year, in the fourth month, on the fifth day, while I was among the exiles by the Kibar River. You guys with that? You following that part so far? All right. Here's what he said. Listen to this. The heavens were opened, and I saw visions of God. And he goes on for 25 verses to try to begin to describe what he saw. And he gets to verse 26 and he says this. Above the expanse, over their heads, was what looked like a throne of sapphire. And high above on the throne was a figure like that of a man. Let me just pause here. As you read through this account of Ezekiel, 10 times he uses the word likeness or like. 16 times he uses the word appearance. He says it you go, what's the problem, Ezekiel? And Ezekiel says, the problem is I have never seen anything like this before. This is my feeble attempt, he says, to try to put this into words. Can you hear him stuttering? It's like the teenagers speak today. How was school? Well, like it was like, what are you, spit it out. What are you saying? Right? You want to go get some dinner? Well, like, yeah, I mean, like, sure, like. I dare you to ban your teenagers from saying the word like for a week. Just try it. They won't be able to talk. What's your name? Right? This was Ezekiel. He was the forerunner to today's teen language. He saw this vision and he's trying to describe it, and he's like it was like this thing, but I can't put it into words. Verse 27. I saw that from what appeared to be his waist up, he looked like glowing metal, as if full of fire. And from there down, he looked like fire, and brilliant light surrounded him, like the appearance of a rainbow in the clouds on a rainy day. So was the radiance around him. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. Watch this. Don't miss this part. Underline this in your Bible. When I saw it. When I saw it, I fell face down. Literally, I buried my face in the dirt. I fell on my face. Why? Because he's holy and we're not. And anytime a human being comes into contact with the holiness and the glory of God, there's one posture to assume, and it's on your face in the dirt. Today and next Sunday, as I said, we're going to be looking at God on the throne, a picture of holiness. The next two Sundays after that, we're going to talk about sin in the mirror, a picture of brokenness. And the next two Sundays after that, we're going to be talking about self in the dirt, a picture of repentance. Do you see the progression? Ezekiel saw God on the throne. And he was overwhelmed by the holiness. He was overwhelmed by just this momentary pulling apart of the curtain that separates us from the spiritual world. And his eyes were open. And for a moment he saw God in his holiness. And he fell face down in the dirt. We've lost that view of God in the church. We've lost it. Had a man come here a year or two ago for a little while, and he grabbed me in the sound booth right back there after the service one day. And talking a mile a minute, he was telling me about all the encounters he'd had with God. And how angels appeared to him and talked with him. And, you know, if it happened, wonderful. But then he started telling me about how God had appeared to him in person a number of times. And he just went on and on. I couldn't wait for him to stop talking because I had one question for him. And when he stopped and took a breath, I said, "What'd you do when you saw God?" "Oh, we talk and, you know, God shares revelations with me." Wrong answer. Wrong answer. Nobody sees God and casually stands around chatting with him. Nobody. We need to understand and try to catch a glimpse of the holiness of God. Listen, God is not the man upstairs. You hear me? You students, listen to me. God is not Big Daddy. God is not your homeboy. God is not an old man in the sky with a long gray beard. God is holy beyond belief, in a way that our minds cannot even begin to comprehend. God is holy. He's holy. God is not like us. We're not going to get to heaven and run up and high-five God and say, "Yo, God, what's up?" Listen, I'm telling you, you would not believe some of the statements you hear from people about God. God is not like us. He is holy. He is high and lifted up. Let's move on. Back to Isaiah chapter 6, verse 2. Isaiah continues. He says, "Above him were seraphs," literally the burning ones, "each with six wings. With two wings they covered their face." Why? "Lest they see God." Don't miss this. Even the holy seraphs, as they're there before God's presence day and night, calling out, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty," even they take two wings and cover their face lest they see the holiness of God. Amazing. With two they covered their faces, and with two they covered their feet. Why? Lest God see them. I wish I had time to pursue that thought this morning. The feet in Bible times represented sort of the dirtiest part of us. Walking on those dusty roads with the animal dung and dust and dirt and mud. That's why they had servants to always wash people's feet so they could feel clean and renewed again. Even the seraphs in heaven cover their feet before the presence of God. Listen, there's a whole sermon in there. We dare not go casually rushing into God's presence, just kind of hanging out like with all our sin and all our mess before a holy God and think we can walk in and chat with Him. He's holy. He's not like us. Revelation 19 says His eyes are like a flame of fire. Even the holy angels cover themselves in His presence with reverence and humility. The Bible says that God is a consuming fire, that He dwells in unapproachable light. That's God. Now jump to one more throne room scene very quickly, Revelation 20. Revelation chapter 20. John, towards the end of his life, was given a glimpse of heaven, a glimpse of the end times and the throne room. And after John has taken 19 chapters talking about all of the end time events and all the things that are going to be destroyed and swept away, he tells us of the one thing that will still be remaining at the end of human history. Revelation 20:11. Then I saw a great white throne. Why white? Well, white is a picture, a symbol of pure holiness. You remember in the Transfiguration when Peter, James, and John were invited to be with Jesus while God revealed His full glory through Jesus? And in that moment in Mark chapter 9, He writes about that event and He says, the glow that was there, the white that was coming from His holy presence was a white like no launderer can whiten. F.B. Meyer, the great preacher and commentator from the late 1800s, early 1900s, was visiting a family one day in Scotland, and they were sitting in the back and enjoying some conversation, and he noticed the wife had hung her freshly bleached linens up on the line to dry. And as they were talking, it began to snow, and it began to snow very quickly and heavily. And F.B. Meyer, I guess trying to be a little bit of a smart aleck, said, oh, your linens don't look so white against the snow now, do they? And the Scottish woman said, man, what can stand against God Almighty's white? Hey, and listen, what a great question. What can stand against God Almighty's white? Verse 11, he goes on. I saw a great white throne and Him who was seated on it. Earth and sky fled from His presence, literally from His face, you can write in your Bible. Earth and sky fled from His presence and there was no place for them. I mean, I don't even have a category in my brain to try to understand, to try to picture this, that before the holy presence of God, even earth and sky retreat and flee into the distance from His holiness. Literally, they disintegrate before His holiness. 2 Peter 3:10 describes this for us. He said, but the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything in it will be laid bare. Verse 11 is one you might want to tuck away and think about in light of this. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives. Luke 23:30 describes the last days when people will meet this holy God. Then they will say, let the mountains fall on us, let the hills cover us. People trying unsuccessfully to flee from the holiness of God, wanting rather to be dead than to be in the presence of His holiness. I finish up back in Isaiah chapter 6. Go back there real quickly. Isaiah 6:3. Isaiah describing the seraphs, he says, and they were calling to one another, holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of His glory. That's really where we're going to focus on next week. Today we want to look at God's holiness as represented through His attributes. And next Sunday we want to look at God's holiness as represented through His creation. We're going to look at some amazing things next Sunday. It's amazing that of all the things these seraphs could be calling out, merciful, 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 loving, 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 the one thing that they cry out day and night throughout all eternity is holy, holy, holy. Why? Because the central defining character of God is holiness. Look at Isaiah's reaction in verse 4 and 5. At the sound of their voices, the doorposts and the threshold shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. What did Isaiah say? Man, this is awesome! I'm going to hang out here forever. This is so cool. You want to see what happens to him? When a man comes into contact with the awesome holiness of God, verse 5, Isaiah said, woe to me. Woe to me. I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty. Folks, that is the starting place of revival. I told you last week, it is impossible for God to bring revival to our heart unless we choose to humble ourselves before Him and recognize some things in our life that are out of place, that are impure before a holy God, and repent of those things and return to Him. You want to know how that'll happen, begin to happen in your life automatically? It's not by reading self-help books. Listen, it's by getting a glimpse of the holiness of God. We've lost it today. We've lost it. Holiness. I shared with you maybe 3 years ago now, stood right here one Sunday morning and shared with you rather nervously a dream that I had the night before, that I had died and I was standing before God in heaven. I'm not much on dreams. I don't put a lot of stock on that. But I'll tell you, the dream I had that night was so vivid, I woke up terrified with a terror I've never felt in my life before. Dreaming that I had died and I was standing before a holy God giving account of my life. And I remember one of the questions He asked me so directly was, who did you bring with you? I remember saying, oh God, I've been so busy. I mean, the business and my family. And oh God, I've just been so busy. Who did you bring with you, Phil? Did you bring anybody with you? Well, God, I meant to. I mean, I've just been so busy. And I remember in that dream the feeling of sheer terror that swept over me standing before God. Let me ask you a question as I close this morning. What are you planning on saying when your life is over and you stand before God? Have you thought about it? Do you have a speech planned? You've been rehearsing it? What are you going to say when your life is over, and it will be one day? The Bible says we will all stand before Him and give an account. You know, one of the most terrifying things Jesus said is, in that day, there will be many who will stand before me and say, Lord, look at all the things we did in your name. Lord, we cast out demons. We did all these great things in your name. And He will look at them and say, depart from me into everlasting torment. I never knew you. You playing church? You playing games with a holy God? What are you going to say when you stand before Him? Here's the ironic thing. This God we've described this morning is so holy and terrifying that none of us, not one of us, could walk into His presence on our own and live. There's only one way. There's only one way that you and I can stand before a holy God without being consumed in an instant. And that way was made possible through Jesus Christ. Jesus himself said in John 14:6, I am the way. No one comes to the Father except through me. You want to know how Phil Pike is going to stand before a holy God one day without being consumed and obliterated to dust? Romans 5:9 says, we were saved from God's wrath through him. Who's him? Jesus. Hey folks, where are you in your relationship with that God? Does that put a different spin, perhaps, on you going out last week and monkeying around in sin? Y'all, Phil, come on, that's getting a little too personal. Next time you go out and you're about to do that thing, I would encourage you to pause for a moment first and invite God's presence into that moment with you. And say, God, I invite your holy presence into this act of sin that I'm about to commit. God, would you join me in this moment? Try that. Church, I want to tell you something. God is not an old dude hanging up in the sky. God is a holy, powerful being. He is not like us. But he has made the way possible for us to get to him through Jesus Christ. I hope that today, if you've never come to that place in your life where you've made things right with God by accepting Jesus as your Savior, I hope that today, in these next few moments as we sing, you'll open your heart to him and invite him in. Let's pray. Just imagine with me for a moment, the best that you can in your mind. Imagine standing there with me at the edge of that cliff, looking across the gorge at Victoria Falls. And just imagine that moment. Imagine feeling the strange sensation of the whole earth under your feet rumbling and shaking under the power of that waterfall. And imagine the force of that water crashing down in front of you, feeling the vibrations in your skin and your bones from that awesome sheer power. And then try to multiply that by about 10 million. And perhaps we will be getting close, maybe to within 0.01% of what it will be like to stand before a holy God. Folks, where are you this morning with God? Where are you? Have you made things right with him? Will you be able to stand before him one day and say, I am here and I'm able to stand here because I put my faith in Jesus Christ to save me from my sins, because that is the only way it will happen. I just want to urge you, if there's even one person here today who's never done that, do it now. Give your life to him now. Make things right with God. If there are others here who are saved, and you're living a life that you know, if God were to take you home in the next hour and you stood before him, you would be terrified in his presence because of the life that you're living right now. Is that how you want to live? Is that how you want to meet God? Listen, church, he is a holy God, and he's called us to be a holy people. This is the beginning of revival right here. You do whatever God is telling you to do in your heart in this moment. God, we come before you as your church, and we humble ourselves before the awesome presence of a mighty God. A God so powerful that he holds the very molecules in our body together by his spoken word. A God so terrifying that he's described as a consuming fire, and yet a God who loves us so much that he gave the ultimate sacrifice to bring us back to him. It's indescribable. I pray, God, that we would live the rest of our lives in such a way that reflects our gratitude for that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You've been listening to a broadcast from Life Point Church in Greenville, South Carolina. If today's message has been an encouragement to you, would you consider partnering with this ministry to help reach more people with the life-changing message of Jesus Christ? Your prayers and financial gift would be a direct investment in changing lives for eternity by allowing us to continue spreading the gospel to people around the world. If God enables you to give, just visit our website at lifepointsc.org. and click the online giving button. If you prefer to contact us by mail, you can write to us at P.O. Box 27036, Greenville, South Carolina, 29616, USA. Thanks again for listening and for your investment in the mission of Christ. Until next time, may God bless you as you continue to follow Him.